My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious
now we really do have announcements. I was very excited about these. So the bookstore is open immediately after the morning fellowship. And if you haven't been in a while, check it out. It's great. Also, Family Camp, the Family Camp photo gallery, is up on the website. So if you want to go see some pictures and all the things that you guys have submitted, go take a look at that. Finally, you guys know we have Women's Weekend coming up, right? The deadline is when? Coming up, right? Coming up. We also have a men's weekend. The forms are out today. They are out in the lobby. That weekend is going to be October 11th through the 13th, and the deadline for registration is on September 22nd. Those forms are also available online. The deadline is during the women's weekend, so men, if your wife normally registers you, make a note. Get it in before she's gone. I want to talk a little bit about what these two weekends are on. It's the same topic for both. The title is Greater Works, and, you know, when we believed on Jesus Christ, we got a new life, right? We have this Holy Spirit. We got to see it manifested out loud a little earlier today. There are so many more things and so many more ways that we can walk out in this new life that we barely touch on. You know, I know each of us looks at the Word and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles in Acts and the other members of the church there, and we see the power and authority and confidence they walk with and how their lives really were lived in a brand new way. And I think we want to see that more fully. This weekend is the start of that for us. I think it's beginning to look at some of those topics, maybe with new eyes, and teach some of those things so that we are, as a church, able to start walking in more of these greater works. So if that's something that is a prayer of yours, like it has been of mine, to understand this more fully, I think this weekend's going to be a great start for that, for the women and the men. So I'd encourage you to really seriously consider being a part of those. Okay? Before our teacher, Marta Bailey, comes up to teach God's word, we're going to sing one more song, number 107, Rock of Ages. I get to come up here now. Number 107.
Guys, girls, you guys were beautiful this morning. Thanks, Hannah. Thank you, Tom, for inviting me to come teach you guys God's word, which, as always, is a huge burden, but a welcome one, right? We have a great responsibility when we are asked to present God's word. And I'm thankful for that and thankful for Tom to ask me to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, what wonderful things we've heard already this morning, that we stand in your presence because of Christ's work, that each one of us is in Christ and we're welcomed here. And I thank you, Father, for this morning, and I pray for these words that I'm going to share from you, and I pray, Father, for open hearts to hear, and I pray, Father, for your spirit to be evident this morning in each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If you've been coming here all summer, you have been hearing that we have been working through a number of things to get us through Thessalonians at the camp that we recently did. And in that, we see this amazing hope that we've been called to and the endurance that we have because of the hope and this life that we're actually called to. If this is your first time coming here this morning and you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay, because we're going to look through a couple of things this morning. But I know a lot of you guys have had these things working in your heart, and we're going to open up by going to Mark chapter 4, And we're going to look at a parable that has come up a number of times this summer in the teachings and in the sharings that people have been doing. And we're going to consider one aspect of this morning. So starting in Mark chapter 4. Josh actually just last week walked the church through this parable in a really beautiful way. I am not going to read the actual parable itself this morning. We're going to start in verse 14. And we're going to look at what Jesus Christ explained about this. So we're kind of skipping the initial parable, but we are going to look at what does this mean. So we're going to start in verse 14. It says, "The sower sows the word." So the parable is of the sower and the seed. The sower goes out to sow. He sows, you guys all know this, he sows on the wayside and it's taken away immediately. He sows on the rocky ground and it springs up, but there's no root and it dies. He sows among the thorns and that grows up but isn't fruitful. And then he sows on the good ground. So let's see what Jesus Christ has to say about this. And he says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. The seed is the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So what I want to look at today is this last point, this good ground that hears the word and receives it and brings forth fruit. But there's more to that, some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Why the discrepancy? Is it in the word that's heard and received? That can't be it, and we're going to see why. But even among the good ground, the harvest amount is not guaranteed. When I read this as a child and as an immature believer, I thought that this meant it was doled out, that Amber was going to produce 100-fold, and I would only be 30. And that really disappointed me thinking about that. I see now this is not the case. We've all received the same word. That's what's received here in this story, right? It's the seed. If I go out to my garden and I plant beet seeds, I put those right into the ground. That harvest is not guaranteed. This here says we are going to produce fruit as the good ground. But let's consider how much fruit are we going to produce. Go to Romans chapter 10. I should point out here that we're going to be reading all really obscure scriptures this morning that none of you have ever heard. No. You know, we're teaching out of a book that's the newest things in it were still written like 2,000 years ago. So chances are we're going to hit some spots you've read before. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Oh, if I can get there. We're going to start in verse 8. It says, "What says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The sower sows the word. It's this word of faith. This word is the same word to Jew and Greek. To everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the same word. I was reading this last recently and thinking about Johnny Gospel Seed. You know, he just goes and he says the same word everywhere he goes. We've all received. The good ground has received the word of God. Tom taught us earlier this summer that Christians have to think, right? We have to hear this word. We have to think about it. You have to consider it. That's what this word receive in that parable, in the explanation is talking about. It's that receiving to yourself. You're thinking about it. You're considering it. It's going to bear fruit. And we've all received the same seed that will bear fruit. Every single one. If you grew up in a family that believes and taught you God's word, you can bear fruit by believing that. If you have never heard this until just now, you can believe this and bear fruit. Everyone is welcomed into God's family as holy and unblameable by this word. Everyone was cleansed by the blood of Christ, and all sins are washed away by this word at this moment. You ever sitting there and all of a sudden realize something from like years and years ago that you haven't thought about, and all of a sudden you see the sin and you're convicted again? Those sins are washed away too in this moment. You are cleansed. You are found in Christ alone. You also have hope and glory awaiting you when Christ comes back. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because we still haven't solved this question of discrepancy in harvest. 2 Peter's way in the back. Let's start in chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Think about that for a moment. That's a pretty big thing that we just read. All of the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's the hope of this earth. That's the hope of those who have not turned to Christ, who have not been redeemed, who have not been saved from the wrath of God. This earth is going to burn. and not in a gentle way. We learned over at camp, remember, in 1 Thessalonians that, First Thessalonians chapter 5, that we're not in darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief. This is not our hope, but this is the hope of this earth and all the works therein. They are going to burn. And verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is not a threat. Honestly, this is not a threat. This is, let's reckon these things together. All of this is going to end in nothing. You are no longer a part of this. So what type of person should you be as we are walking through this earth, as we are here existing in this space whose end is sure? And really whose end you aren't going to be taking part of. What type of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We are not just looking at this day knowing, okay, this is going to happen. We can be people who in all manner of holy conversation and godliness are hasting unto the day when the works of this earth are going to burn. We can be excited. We can be running toward that. You know, there was a time in my life where I realized Christ is coming back and I was afraid. There is the moment, if we're honest, when maybe you guys haven't experienced this because you were holier and more godly people than I was, which would be wonderful. But there was a moment where I thought if Christ came back in this moment, I would not be ready. I would say, wait, I wanted to live for you. I just haven't gotten to it yet. This is happening. This is real. This is happening. It could be now. And since it didn't just happen when I said that, which would have been really cool, we can consider what manner of people are we then walking out? What have we been given? Everything. Everything. We can be hasting unto this day for our Lord to come back. A holy life looks forward to our Lord's return. A holy life looks forward to our Lord's return. I should point out, this day when the heavens are ripped open and the earth burns, this is not our gathering together. This is explained in depth over the teachings at camp as well. If you have questions about that, find somebody that was at the camp who can explain it to you, or read through 1 and 2 Thessalonians. There is a difference in these days. But we look forward to things being set right and all the works of this world being burned up. And you might not be looking forward to that yet, but you can. This is real. And when we actually decide to believe that this is real and this is happening, it's going to put things into perspective. The question then, what manner of people ought we to be? Are you willing to be transformed? Are you willing to be a person in all manner of holiness and godliness? Or are you still clinging to who you are now and to the things that you believe that the good that this world is going to offer to you, that you think God is withholding from you? 1 Peter, we're not going to go to 1 Peter today, but 1 Peter makes it very clear throughout multiple chapters in that book that there is no station of life where we hear God's word and believe it that we're excused from believing and walking out on it. Married, unmarried, wishing you were married, wishing you weren't married, being a slave, being free. You know, significant life boundaries do not bind God. We can choose at any point to live this holy life. We can choose at any point to be transformed, to believe that the word that we have believed has transformative power in our lives today. We are going to go to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let's consider who is speaking here. And let's back up a couple verses. So now that we've read this part, think about what Jesus Christ is saying here. But let's back up and see, what is he responding to? Start in verse 21, and it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What was the Lord's cross? It was to do that which God had put before him to do, which was to die at the hands of sinful men, to bear the burdens and the sin and the weight of the entire world, to redeem each one unto God. Jesus Christ says, whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Do you guys remember anything else about our Lord? Do you remember when he was tempted by the devil himself? What did the devil offer him? He offered him the glory of the whole world if you will bow down and worship me. This was not just good feelings or a great idea that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. What would it have profited Jesus if he gained the whole world but lost his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Christ looked beyond this moment. Our Lord looked to the hope that was set before him, that God was going to give him far beyond anything that Satan could offer. God was going to give all of the glory. Jesus Christ could have had it. In that moment, without having to be crucified, without having to be killed, without having to even live a perfect life, he could have had that. What would that have gained? 80 years of glory? Maybe less? Jesus Christ looked to the hope that was set before him. You know, seeing that he had a hope, what manner of man should he be in all manner of godliness and conversation? This is what the Lord presents. Doing God's purposes. You're looking beyond this moment. You are looking beyond today, and you're looking at the eternity that he's promised. He was looking forward. He saw past this moment, and he saw to eternity when he would return and destroy the one that Satan does give the glory of the whole world to, that Christ was going to destroy that with the breath of his coming. We have been given an awesome hope. As we continue to look forward to that, it's going to change what things are important to us today. And that's a good thing. It's a scary thing. It's a weird thing, because this is what we see, right? This is what I've always known. And now I'm being given something that's amazing and glorious, and I've never even, it's blowing my mind to think about. How could I believe that that's even true? I was having a conversation recently about movies. You know, movies are movies. I don't care about that. But when we've trained our minds to continuously say, that's not real, that's not real, it's not real. I can watch the biggest, most exciting Marvel movie. I'm just using Marvel because it's the, you know, there's so many of them. But it's like we watch movies that are beyond our wildest imaginations. And the whole time you're watching it, you're going, that's not real. It's not real. It's not real. And you just kind of do this automatically. This is how we filter things in our mind. It's like actually part of your survival instincts is to decide what's real and what's not real. We watch horror movies that are terrifying and horrifying and filled with evil. And you look at it and you go, that's not real. That's not real. I'm safe because that's not real. And we destroy our expectations. We destroy what when we go to God's word and we think, and we have to filter them through and say, actually, this is real. Jesus Christ is going to come back and destroy all of the works of the adversary and the glory of Satan just by showing up on the scene. That's real. Set your expectations higher. Set your expectations to line up with what God tells us is real. This is real. This is happening. Don't sit back and wait for later, because this may or may not be real. It is real. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, please. You ever want to question if something is too awesome to believe? Read Ephesians. You will spend the whole time going, this is actually real. Let's start in verse 13 of chapter 3. It says, wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. pause there. This is whose family you are now a part of. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family on heaven and earth is named. This is who we entreat in prayer. When I prayed at the beginning of this teaching and I called out to my heavenly Father, that's what I get to do. That's what you get to do. That's a real thing. That's not a light thing. To call on the name of the Creator as your Father. In verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Have you been transformed? Are you different than you were before you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you different than the first time you read this word and you said, I don't get it? Are you different? This is now a reasonable prayer that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This does not end. This is eternal. That as we are filled with all the fullness of God, it is to the glory of God. That all the things that we could ask or think to go before God with, to do as a show of his glory and grace here on earth, all that we ask or think, exceedingly, abundantly above. I can think of a lot of things. I've seen a lot of movies. I can come up with some weird stuff. But you know what? God says exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's our expectation. Raise your expectations. Do you think that God is going to be small in your life? Are you walking out going, I'm probably just one of those 30-fold fruit people? Maybe you are. 30-fold of godly fruit is significant. But let's raise our expectations. Let's expect that as we are filled with all the fullness of God, as we are transformed, God is going to be good and faithful. What manner of people ought we to be? Oh, people, we ought to be full of God, filled with all the fullness of God. This is a reasonable and right expectation. And you're going to be transformed. It's going to involve letting go of the expectations that maybe you have for your life and receiving those that God has for your life. Are you going to miss out on some things? Well, yeah. There's a lot of sin you will probably miss out on if you decide to live a holy life. Jesus Christ missed out on being king of the whole world without having to go through the crucifixion. Jesus Christ missed out on receiving that glory at that moment. Has he missed out in eternity? Is what God promised him less than what he could have gained on his own? No. This is an amazing God to call us to this, to give us such a hope, to found all of this in love. God could I mean, he's the creator. He didn't have to save you. Once he saved you, he could have demanded your service. And he certainly didn't have to reward you for it. But that's not our God. In love, he called you. In Christ, he made you righteous. He's given you hope and glory. This is real for you today. This is not something that's earned, something that you have to attain to. At the moment that you said, okay, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I do believe that God raised him from the dead. I will take him as my Savior and Lord. All of this has been true to you immediately. And if you have not been living in this way, then start. Because it's also not, you know, well, you had your shot and you missed it. That's the end. See you at the return. Start today. Raise your expectation of what God is going to work in your life. Let's go to John chapter 14. Because, you know, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back now, then there's going to be things to do. Isn't that great? You've been given a purpose. We have a reason for living. Christ didn't save you and then immediately scoop you up into heaven. What are we doing here? We have a purpose. If he does not come back now, then there's going to be wisdom to receive. There's going to be things to do by the Spirit that he's given. Part of this holy life is living as someone that has Holy Spirit, which you have if you have believed on Jesus Christ. And that is exciting. That's an exciting thing. We're going to have things to do. People talk about finding the purpose of life or the meaning of life. And not just Monty Python. This is a real thing that people consider. What is my purpose? You have a purpose. And if you don't know what it is, you need to stop and actually consider the word that you have received. The purpose and the meaning of life is not hidden. It's not something that God hopes you attain to or find out one day. We have been brought into this place to reflect the glory of God here on earth. Don't you think he might have given you some power and some authority to do that then as you walk out in this holy manner of life? In John 14, which I am not at, in verse 8, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. I don't know what the word sufficeth means. I went back to reading the King James, and I don't even have my phone on me. Does anyone have an NIV?
Will be enough for us.
It'll be enough. So Philip, who was one of the 12, is with the Lord, and he goes, Jesus, just show us the Father, and it'll be enough. And Jesus responds to him and says, have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I'm in the Father, and that the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, believe me for the very works' sake. Again, our Lord, a beautiful showing of what this life is. This pattern that we have set before us, this amazing man who in every way exemplified who we can now be. Jesus Christ's response to his dear friend who said, well, just show us God. Jesus says, haven't you seen him? Everything I do bears witness to God. Everything I do gives glory to God. If you know me, you know my Father. And he says, believe me because I'm telling you, or believe me because of the works that I do. How could somebody do these works that was not working with God? He says, whatsoever, I'm so sorry, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Oh, this was going to be poured out. You know, Hannah mentioned these weekends that are coming up. We're going to be looking, I think this is the key verse for the weekends. We're going to be looking at these things more in depth. This is what Jesus Christ laid out. The very works that I do testify of God. And you're going to do these things and even greater things than this. Cause I'm going unto my Father. What did Jesus Christ do when he went to the Father? Oh, we can keep reading and we'll find out. In verse 13, it says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know, Jesus Christ was going to pour out Spirit. We are living in the time when he has poured out Spirit. Greater works shall he do than I do, is what he said. We're going to have these greater works available to us. And they testify of God. They testify of all that God has done in Christ in you. How many times during songs and manifestations did we hear that we are in Christ? That's where we are. Our lives are hid in Christ. What a delightful place to reside. All of that power and authority that our Lord walked with, we can now walk with. And as we do that, it's going to testify of him. Are you ready to take part in this? You know, I don't ask that question because none of you are taking part. Ask yourself this, though. Am I ready to take part and what God has for me to do? Because it's one thing to read the scriptures and to see that spiritual works are available. And it's another to be sitting at work and recognize the devil spirit talking to you and do something about it. We've been called to a greater purpose than just getting through the day. We have been called to a purpose where we get to glorify God and testify of him and his power and his nature. Everything that Jesus Christ did testified of his nature, of who he was. Who have you been made to be? And do you believe it? The answer to that can be yes. You don't have to say no. Maybe you do. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, we were just here at the end of 3. Well, now we're going to read into chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Well, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? That we would walk worthy of all that's been done for us. I used to think that that was putting on a show or coming off as self-righteous. Like, oh, I'm not taking part in your, you know, party or whatever anymore because I'm too good for that. And then, but seeing these things laid out in the scriptures, that really doesn't enter into it, does it? You've been transformed into a different being. It's not going to look the same as the rest of the world. You're not going to fit in anymore, even if you try really hard. So you might as well take part in the things that God has laid out for you to do. And the call then is to walk worthy, walk in balance, walk appropriately with what you've been called to be. With all lowliness and meekness. Well, that doesn't sound like self-righteousness, does it? It's with lowliness and with meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've already been given the unity of the Spirit. We get to keep that. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What a unity. What a unity that we enjoy here in the body of Christ. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And each one of us shares in that. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We have all been brought in. We have all attained to this body by grace. But you have been given a place, and you've been given a place, and you have, by the grace that Christ has doled out to you in particular. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Is everybody an apostle? Everyone in here an apostle? No. Oh. Prophets? Everyone? Really? Evangelists, pastors, teachers. But do we have teachers?
Yeah.
Do we have prophets?
Yeah.
Do we see these ministries in action? Yeah, we do. Oh, but you didn't get one of those? I guess you don't have to do anything. You show up and just, we'll all take care of you. No, it's each one was given grace, right? Do you have a place in the body of Christ? Do you belong here? Are you part of this unity? Yes, you are. Do you have one of these particular ministries? Possibly. Do you still belong here? Do you share in this unity? Did you get brought in by the same grace? Yes, you did. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Do we have unity of the Spirit? Yes. Do we all believe that all the time?
No.
But we are going to come into the unity of the faith. This is part of what's happening. We're working toward this. We're building toward this, hopefully, in the body of Christ. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Sorry, that was not a good place to pause. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My goodness, that is a high calling and available, and we can take part in it, and you can take part in it. This isn't just for the people who haven't screwed it up yet or who, you know, have been along around long enough to actually believe these things. Every single one. That we henceforth be no more children. Are you a child when you first believe? Yeah, you are. Do children stay children? Hopefully not. They can grow. Tossed to and fro. That would be being a child. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. says we still live in this world, right? There is deception. There's reasons that we do not all believe this all the time. But you can. We can avoid this. We can grow up and no longer be bullied by Satan and his devices. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things, which is the head, Christ. We speak the truth in love. Remember, this is still talking about that grace given, your place in the body of Christ, your place in what God's purposes are and how he's carrying them out. And in that, we are speaking the truth in love so that we can all grow up, so that we all grow up into him, which is the head, Christ. Christ is the head of the body of Christ. That is fantastic. He calls the shots. All I have to do is listen. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You have been given grace to partake in the things of God here in the body of Christ. Your expectation can be higher. And if you go, I already have a high expectation, great. It can be higher. How easy is that? When we come to this place, okay, just to be clear, you are a spiritual person all the time. If you've believed on Jesus Christ, you have Holy Spirit when you go to work at the dentist's office. You have Holy Spirit when you go to the grocery store. You have Holy Spirit when you're tired and grouchy. You have Holy Spirit all the time. You can expect spiritual things all the time. But when we come together in this place, oh my goodness. Folks, raise your expectations. This is a room full of people that have Holy Spirit, that have grace given to each one of you by the Lord, who oversees this whole body. And he has something for you to do today. He has something for you to do. He has something for you to do. Do you think that there is not enough spiritual work to go around? There is. There are. If you do not have a gift, you know, ministry that we read about specifically where you're like, oh, well, I'm not, you know, an evangelist. I guess I'm just going to show up at church today and I'll hear some things that bless me and move on. No. Each one has a place in this body of Christ. You are needed. You have a purpose. And you have a calling to grow up in these things in love. And we can do that because each one of us has received this same Spirit. Each one has the same hope. Remember that hope that we're looking toward. What manner of people ought we to be? Let's be hundredfold people. Let's raise our expectations and expect our God to be as good as he says he is and expect the Spirit that he's put in us to be as powerful and as good and as loving as he tells us that it is. And this is true for each one. We can come here expecting to manifest God's power. So we're going to pray and be done. Heavenly Father, God, you have done so much for us. You have done everything for us. And yet we still come before you with our failures and our sin. And we think that that's an excuse. And Father, I pray for our hearts to think bigger, to think higher, to think your thoughts and to believe what you say about us. Thank you, God, for never shutting the door on your saints. Thank you for not
yet shutting the door on the rest of the world, but that you are indeed long-suffering, that you want every single one to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. And I pray, Father, that our eyes are on you, on our Lord, and on that glory that will be revealed when he returns. I thank you, God, for these great and wonderful things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.